change the world together. Welcome to the Snapcast, the podcast for all nonprofit professionals, bringing you interviews and amazing ideas for nonprofit leaders.
Hello, good morning. This is the Nonprofit Snapcast. Welcome. I'm your host, Mickey Desai. Very happy today to be speaking with Angel Rebo. Angel Rebo is the CEO Confidant. How are you, sir?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
And obviously, thank you, everybody who's listening to us today.
First of all, what is the CEO Confidant?
Yeah, so basically, that's the brand I chose when I started my own business 5 years ago. The reason why I chose this one is because I started to count my blessings throughout my professional career prior to me leaving corporate America. And I realized that I had helped so many C-level executives, so many CEOs, so many companies. I actually stopped counting them at 1,500. So I said, okay, so if I have helped more than 1,500 CEOs in 33 different countries, maybe the CEO Confidant would be a nice brand. And I just started using it. And I really like it. And I think it really resonates with the people I work with.
Yeah, no, I love it. What are we going to talk about with regard to the nonprofit sector today?
Well, thank you. I mean, we can talk about really anything, but maybe something that I would like to talk about is how, you know, helping or training, you know, underprivileged kids in Latin America become entrepreneurs is actually the right thing to do, or one of the good things that we can do in this world. And also, how can maybe we can inspire people to do the same thing locally? Because I think that we, all of us, business people or entrepreneurs, we all have these incredible blessings in our lives. We are infinitely powerful. We are really ready. We have those gifts and talents that we are really ready to help so many kids. And I think that the children, really, underprivileged or not, right? I think that they all should learn more about entrepreneurship. And I think that if we could just start using a few hours of our time, maybe weekly, maybe monthly, to do that, we could change the world in the snap of a finger.
Sure.
Mickey.
Sure. Absolutely. So how do you get involved doing this? Are you sponsoring a program? Did you start a nonprofit entity to help with this project?
So through a series of, synchronicities, serendipities, when I was in corporate America, it was very clear to me at some point in time that I had to create something. I had to do something. And I had a spiritual experience that was March 21st in 2015. I was in Mexico City. And through that experience, it was very clear to me that I had to create something. What I created, along with a friend of mine and his dad, actually, we created literally Wisdom for Kids, which is the name of the foundation. It's an international foundation based here in Plano, Texas. Plano, for people that know Texas a little bit, is right north of Dallas. It's an international suburb with lots of headquarters and people from any nationality.
Yeah.
And this is the place where actually we started. The other two co-founders are in Mexico. And we started to, you know, to systematically connect with communities, different types of communities in Latin America, mostly in Mexico, because it's the closest place to the US. Mm-hmm. And start, you know, engaging with those communities and with the kids in need. People don't know this, but there's 81 million kids in Latin America that live in poverty.
My goodness.
81. That's 45% of the kids in Latin America. 45%. And you know, when obviously I'm kind of a public figure and I'm out there all the time talking about my business, talking about my nonprofit, and sometimes I really like it. And that's, I really appreciate the way that you started the conversation, asking me what would you like to say about it. Because very often, or not very often, but from time to time, people actually are saying, hey, you live in the US, you've lived here already for 10 years, and why do you go to Latin America? Why don't you take care of your kids locally? And at one point, actually, someone got really judgmental and emotional. And again, and I'm fine with it. I mean, I have a thick skin, so I'm fine with people getting judgmental and getting strongly emotionally involved with what they say. And they say, hey, why the hell do you go to Latin America? Why don't you take care of the kids? And I said, yes, why not? Let's do it. Let's partner up and let's do this together. You know, unfortunately, that person never went back to me or responded to that message. And again, I can take any kind of, you know, aggressive, whatever it was. But that's why I said what I said, which is, I really think that We all have a certain area of expertise that we can start sharing systematically with groups of kids, And I'm sure that you're going to have the same reaction that we got with Wisdom for Kids in Latin America, because the first thing that whenever we connect with a community leader in Latin America, any community, doesn't matter if it's an indigenous community, a suburban community, a rural community, they will say the same thing. They always all ask the same question. How much is that going to cost us? Ah. How much is that going to cost us? Because they cannot believe that someone is going to do that for free. Yeah. You know, how much, all those things you're going to do? Okay, so how much is it? They said, no. We do that because that's what we want to do. That's what we want to do with our lives. That we will really strongly believe in making the world a better place and Latin America a better place through teaching the kids in need entrepreneurship.
So let's back up for a second before we go on.
Absolutely.
You said when they say, how much is all this going to cost? What is all this? What are the things that
exactly? Because we start telling them exactly that. Obviously, a great question. Because we start explaining, hey, this is what we would like to do. Mm-hmm. We would like to come to your community. We would like to meet with groups of kids. We would like to start with this group age, and this is what we typically do. So we would like to start a journey for those kids to learn what becoming an entrepreneur means, what having their own business means. I mean, many times also, let me tell you, many times when you say entrepreneur in Spanish, which is emprendedor, many people don't know what that means, you know? So, because again, it's a term that we're so used to because we are, you know, business people, we've been having careers, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of people in rural communities, they don't know what is entrepreneurship? So we explain what it means. Yeah. Having your own business, start to have an impact in your community through creating, you know, wealth, creating jobs, blah, blah, blah. And then we explain that we do this by training the kids, and we're going to organize a workshop, and the workshop is going to do this in the workshop, and the workshop is going to contain this, and we're going to do this, and then the second step is this, and then this is what the final destination is this. That's a lot of things.
Yep.
To digest. So that's when they say, okay, so how much is all those things that you just explained to us, how much are those things going to cost us?
Right. So you're able to do this sort of intervention for no cost to them. Mm-hmm. And are you reaching kids? Well, let me back up before we say that. How do you go to find them? They don't have to find you. You find those communities yourself, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so those kids get enrolled. Do you simply enroll anyone who asks at that point, or
the community? Exactly. The community leaders are the ones that really pick the kids that are going to be bringing. They always ask us, do they have to have a specific conditions or a specific family backgrounds or a specific? We say, no, we embrace absolutely everybody. We bring in absolutely every single kid, regardless of their family situation, the structure of the family. I mean, anybody, really, anybody. And that includes kids with disabilities. Mm-hmm. So we have kids with disabilities too. And we have kids with mental health problems. And we have a large variety of kids that attend our workshops. And that's why it was very clear in the beginning that we wanted, number one, we wanted to fully respect our culture. We are not invaders, right? We're not going to create any sort of disruption to their community. And number two, that we're going to include everybody. So it's not going to be like you need a certain IQ to be able to follow it. No. If you attended yourself, well, that would be great if you could attend one of our workshops in Latin America one day. Realize that it's an energy-based kind of work that we do, in which the most important thing is the question that we were always asking ourselves is, okay, so we're going to be in that community. We will have, let's say, a once in a lifetime opportunity. Mm-hmm. Okay. Once in a lifetime opportunity. And the result is going to be, we would like to leave them with something that they will be able to go back to and something that they will say, wow, that was something really, really special, really different. And we learned something. So we were very clear in the beginning. We were always asking ourselves, how can we structure our workshops so that what we do is going to make a big difference in their lives? And they will never forget it as one of the most blissful times in their lives. Honestly, mm-hmm. That's why we decided to really connect with them on an energy level. When I say on an energy level, it means that we connect with their feelings, we connect with their emotions. And
sure,
just to give you an example, we start the workshop with whoever is leading it, the leader of the workshop, with a speaker on our hand playing loud music, and we start jumping up and down for 4 or 5 minutes with the kids.
So you get them energized early.
Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And obviously, I mean, because just picture this, right? I mean, they see us, right? I mean, we dress very casually, obviously, very often. I mean, again, we know where we are, right?
Yeah.
We know where the community that we're talking to, and we are there in front of them, right? They don't know us. They probably will hear that we have a different accent. You know, they will see that even if we make an effort, I mean, that's very clear when we go to indigenous communities, obviously.
Sure.
We will never dress the same they wear. So we have no leadership. We don't have the right. We have not earned the right to do anything with them. But guess what? Music is like the universal language. Typically we play music in English, although they speak Spanish, right?
Yeah.
Because they all speak Spanish only. All of them, 100%, only speak Spanish, right?
Right.
So we started jumping up and down, and that's a universal language. And guess what? They all jump up and down with us. Why? Because it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's fun. So they don't know us. They might be serious. They might be looking at us. We typically are 4 or 5 people, you know, delivering those workshops.
Yeah.
Because we try to be a lot of people. I mean, we try to support each other, and we try to make it really a big experience for the kids. So they don't know us. They could be even feeling intimidated. But as soon as the leader of the workshop starts jumping up and down, everything changes. And then we stay 2 hours. The workshop is 2 hours long.
Okay.
And then we play, we dance, we do quizzes, we ask questions, we have conversations, we tell stories, you know, tales, literally.
Yep.
You know, we sing together and we meditate. And we meditate.
No kidding.
Yeah. We meditate. So we actually spend a lot of time making sure that we were putting in place the most powerful possible guided meditation.
Yep.
So we use neuro-linguistic programming and other techniques to develop our meditation. Our meditation is between 15 and 20 minutes. So it's an important part of the 2 hour, right, the workshop. And it's extremely powerful. I mean, every affirmation of that guided meditation was very well said. Thought of in order to create self-esteem, to create this power, to awaken this power, these infinitely powerful beings that are inside those kids in need. Because as you can imagine, I mean, there's a good thing about kids that live in poverty. They don't know what they don't know. And typically there are a lot of things that they don't know.
Right.
So they tend to be happy. They tend to, unless they have circumstances in their families and, you know,
Right.
Or you can imagine. But so that can be a good thing. But the bad thing is very often also their self-esteem is not really high.
Mm.
You know, so we really make sure that our meditation is something that's going to awaken them to a whole, you know, bunch of possibilities inside of them. And it's extremely, extremely powerful. It has a very special music. And we spend a lot of time with the kids or doing that. And when we finalize when we finish the meditation,
mm-hmm.
the stories that the kids tell us, the ones that are, you know, brave enough to share what they have lived, it's, for all of them, it's the first time ever they have meditated. First time ever. For all of them. So they all tell us, some tell, you know, oh, I was there, or I was traveling to that place, or I saw this, or I saw that, or guess what? And they tell you stories about what they saw. So the satisfaction that we get from going to those communities and spending time with the kids and opening that journey to entrepreneurship is really incredible, Mickey.
Yeah. So how do you translate this? No, I don't mean the word translate literally, but
mm-hmm.
you're talking about taking these kids through a very high-spirited, very energetic curriculum, but how do they learn how to be entrepreneurs from that?
Yeah, so this is what I just described is just the beginning, right? And the main goal is, hey, I mean, there are other possibilities available in your life. You can do many other things that you never thought of. Regardless of what you see around you, there's other things that you could do. Okay. And that's just the starting point. Then during every single workshop, we identify the kids who we think that are more willing and open and able to become entrepreneurs. Okay. So then we start. The workshop is just the startup. It's just the starting of the journey. Okay.
I see.
And then our local volunteers are the ones that start talking to the families, to the parents, to the tutors, whoever they are that the kids live with. Excuse me. And then we start really dealing with, you know, the reality. So will the parents be able or be allowed or be willing to help their kids to become entrepreneurs? And then, again, the same as when we have, let's say we have 10 kids in that particular workshop. Of those 10 kids, probably they're going to be 20% of those, probably, like, I would say, you know, two of them, maybe three of them. It depends, right? Because every single workshop is different. So then we will talk to those parents, maybe three, four parents of those 10 kids. And then we'll tell them what we would like to do. And then our volunteers started, you know, really like accompanying those, on a journey. They started on a journey on through entrepreneurship, telling them exactly what it means. So our volunteers are the ones that become really the mentors and the coaches of the parents and the kids.
I see.
So that they can become entrepreneurs.
Right.
Because, you know, we were confronted ourselves in the beginning with, okay, so we know that becoming an entrepreneur has many different stages. We know that because when you go to a business accelerator or a business incubator today, you see the same thing, right?
Yeah.
The rate of success, the success rate for accelerators is much higher than for incubators. But knowing that the complexity of the lives of those kids, mm-hmm. along with the complexities of becoming an entrepreneur, was like a complexity of a square kind of thing.
Sure.
if you know what I mean?
Yes.
So we were confronted with, okay, so how can we make sure that we make those workshops very, very impactful?
Yeah.
So they can always go back to those and remember those no matter what and no matter how much time goes by, they will always, or making it very content intense. And we decided to make those workshops very experiential as opposed to very content and knowledge, enriched.
Right.
And to make the following steps of the journey of that entrepreneur more like knowledge-based, more like entrepreneurial business content, these kind of things.
So when we're talking about teaching these kids entrepreneurship,
you're
not expecting them to turn around and start technology firms or anything like that. Being an entrepreneur to those children is a little different than being an entrepreneur to most people in this country.
That is a great question. Exactly. That is a great question because and let me tell you an anecdote.
Mm.
Okay, so you would think everyone in the world, every kid has a cell phone or every parent has a cell phone or I'm saying cell phone, not even a smartphone, right?
Right.
And let me tell you an example. And you know, we have probably like, if you go like a 10-mile away from where you are today or 20-mile away, how many airports, just this, how many airports or strips, like just landing strips or regional airports? Probably many.
Yeah.
So I can tell you, for instance, we go to a community which is a suburban community. It's only 20 minutes away, 25 minutes away from Mexico City's airport, which is one of the most active airports in Latin America. Can you believe that those kids have never seen an airplane? Ever. Ever. Their parents have never thought of going to the airport to see an airplane. Huh. Ever. Ever. So the closest they have seen an airplane is if they look up and an airplane happens to be there. Happens to be there, and this community is not in their, in the landing or takeoff route of those planes. So they're going to see those planes very high up.
Mm-hmm.
So we tend to think that even physical proximity or geographic proximity eventually means that the kids are exposed to that knowledge or that wisdom. That is not the case.
Uh-huh.
So to your question, exactly. We don't expect that. Are there kids that are exposed to smartphones? Well, that would be probably, I don't know, the 1% of the kids we talk to.
Sure.
Also think that when we go out of the suburban communities, there's no cell coverage or the quality of the cell coverage is not good. Again, we tend to think that the rest of the world is the same as where we are today, and it's not true. So those kids, That's why when our mantra at Wisdom for Kids is we help underprivileged kids in Latin America become entrepreneurs using their local resources. That's the secret, using their local resources. And it's funny how very often the poorer the area is, the more resources, the more natural resources have. So for instance, we go to indigenous communities, which are remote, in the remote areas, and those indigenous communities, they know so much about their lands. They know so much about the plants, about the vegetables, about the fruits, about the stones, about so many things in that area, that there's so many potential sources of value for people outside their area. And this is typically one of the sources of wealth, you know. Using those resources to create wealth for the community very often is just as easy as making those resources available to people from outside, right? And some of the communities are, for instance, might be on or close or nearby of touristic areas. I mean, but not touristic in the sense of Hawaii or Cancun or Playa del Carmen, but, like a small village, like touristic area. So just exposing those resources in a very simple way, packaging them, making them, appealing to the eyes, already might be able to be the seed of an entrepreneurship, an entrepreneurial adventure.
Right.
So exactly. We don't expect them. Are there people or are there kids trying to, or might they try to do something related to technology? That might be the case. But again, there's so many hurdles.
Yep.
There's so many like boundaries and limitations to doing that typically they prefer to go other routes. They prefer to go and use, again, their natural resources and work with those natural resources in a unique way. Or, for instance, I remember really, really young kids that what they decided to do was to start, for instance, they live nearby an almost abandoned compound that has former Toltec pyramids.
Okay.
Again, so it's not like the pyramids that are very well taken care of and there's signs everywhere. No. Those are pyramids almost in the middle of the forest. Like,
sure.
Yeah. No, almost nobody knows that they are there. So I remember, for instance, kids learning the history of the place to provide services to the families that might go there from time to time. You know, this kind of thing. So
interesting.
Again, we put a lot of effort, and actually, right now we are developing a sales workshop because we think that bringing the kids immediately to the sales part, to the part in which they have to interact with their potential clients, is the next step in their journey, after they already, after there's some basics about the service or the product that they can sell or provide. After that has been developed, then, we can, it's all a matter of what's the best way to reach out to your potential clients, right?
Your
audience. And again, as you probably have also realized with, I don't know if you have kids or you have kids near you. If you have kids, you probably have realized that the kids are very natural, very genuine, very spontaneous. So the reason why we are not good salespeople is because of all the fears, all the limitations, all the boundaries, or all those structures that throughout our education have put in place to prevent us from being who we are really. And that's a layer that the kids still don't have. And that's why we are super excited about this workshop, sales workshop, because this sales workshop is actually tapping into the genuine, authentic being who they are, that these kids are, in order to put out there what they are willing to do or provide the service, So again, it's so many discoveries. There's so many epiphanies and aha moments when you work with kids and in these areas, because you always learn things that you were not exposed to and that bring you, wow, this is, I never thought of this, and we should do this more often, or we should use these more often to be able to help those kids become entrepreneurs.
So we're rapidly running out of time, but I wanted to quickly ask what were the difficulties you faced in trying to reach an international audience from within the United States borders? Were there legal?
Great question. Actually, we didn't find any, to be honest, because of the other two co-founders are Latin American and they live in Mexico, both of them. And they are actually, it's one of the most important strengths of us as an organization is our ability to reach to large communities of kids. So our challenge is more our own ability to scale than to reach out to communities with kids. So we really didn't have that problem because of the co-founders. So let's say, you know, inside our leadership team, there are already people that have the connections necessary to reach out to those communities and to be able to find kids in need. So that's really a blessing. It's a great question, but it's a blessing. So probably my recommendation to people that want to do similar things would be to reach out to people, friends or friends of friends or relatives of friends that might be in Latin America. And that might be, if they want to do this in Latin America, given the large amount of kids living in poverty today, in order to be able to develop that international presence in a much faster and effective way.
Right. Fantastic stuff, Angel. If a listener wanted to learn more about you and your efforts, how would you suggest they do that?
Yes. So very easy. I'm very active online. You will see me everywhere online. Again, Angel Ribo, the CEO of Confidant. My last name, Ribo, is spelled R-I-B as in boy, O, R-I-B as in boy, O. Send me an email. It's very easy. angel@angelribo.com. angel@angelribo.com. And we answer all the emails, either my team or myself. We will always give you an answer, and we would love you to be involved with Wisdom for Kids. Absolutely.
Excellent stuff, Angel. Thank you for taking the time today to do this recording with me this morning.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure. And obviously, thank you, everybody who's been listening to us today.
This has been The Snapcast. Thank you for joining us.
The Snapcast is a production of the Nonprofit Snapshot. Please visit us at nonprofitsnapshot.org to learn more about our consulting work and the ways we can help your organization continue to make the world a better place.